we take a little break from our Lenten observance and we gather for a great celebration. This celebration in honor of Saint Joseph, spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I've been thinking a little bit about our journey with Saint Joseph through the last 2 years, because in some ways, Joseph himself has been a victim of the pandemic. At least our celebrations in honor of Saint Joseph have been victimized. 2 years ago, exactly 2 years ago, remember, we were thrown into that terrible lockdown, ECQ, and all liturgies were suspended, and that was the end of that. And then that was March of 2020, and then in May, we were still locked down. We couldn't have any public liturgies, so the two feast days in honor of Joseph, they got squashed. Then last year, which was the year of Saint Joseph, we were able to have a mass last year on March 19, but with lots of limitations, and people were getting nervous. And then right after that, we were locked down again, March last year. And that's why our Holy Week and Easter last year was suspended. And then on May 1st last year, we had made big plans to have our consecration to St. Joseph because it was the year of St. Joseph. And again, all the public masses were suspended and we had to do our consecration online. Well, at last we can gather at least with some reasonable festivity and honor our protector of the Anouim. At last we can show our love for him in a more public way, and that's what we're doing today. It's great to be able to have the men's choir together for the most part. And it's great to be able to gather, and we have, you saw the decorations perhaps outside with the flowers and all the different titles of St. Joseph, and we have Father Francis's image of St. Joseph, protector of the Anouim here, so that we can, in a more fitting way, celebrate him, even though during the year of St. Joseph we couldn't. One irony about this year, though, is that this year, of the two feast days that are dedicated to St. Joseph, one of them is May 1st, and that we will not have because it falls on a Sunday. And this day, March 19, which is the biggest feast day of St. Joseph in the whole year, well, it gets cut off a little bit because tonight starts the third Sunday of Lent. So we can't even have our evening in honor of St. Joseph. We're already back into Lent. So anyway, even though we're not locked down like we were, we still are following the guidelines of the church. And that's how Joseph would want it. If we start to think about St. Joseph, what we discover is there's much more to him than we thought. That's why I think it's nice how in the display outside, the different titles of St. Joseph are there. And probably many of you know them. They come from the litany. So all the different, oh gosh, guardian of virgins, pillar of families, solace of the afflicted, hope of the sick, patron of the dying, terror of demons, and all these titles. We could pick any one of them as a starting point for reflecting on this great man who is usually hidden and often forgotten. For this morning, I'd like to pick out just three ideas. These are very basic, so that we keep in mind who this is that we're honoring and why we're honoring him. First of all, his faith. Secondly, his love for Jesus. And third, his love for Mary. So this is the, if you can't get faith, love for Jesus, and love for Mary, well, then you don't know anything about St. Joseph. I like how our prayer to St. Joseph, protector of the Anouim, says it. We ask him for a spirit of sacrifice, humility, and courage, a burning love for Jesus in the Eucharist, and a tender love for Mary, our mother. So Jesus, Eucharist, Mary, our mother, who is also represented in the church. That's what I'd like to reflect on. So let's start with faith. Joseph is a great model of faith. That's why he's compared to Abraham in the readings. Abraham is our father in faith, and Joseph is our father in faith. He's the one who shows us how faith works. Faith is not an imposition. Faith is not a limitation. Faith is not irrationality. Faith is confidence in God. Faith makes it possible for us to take a step beyond what we can understand. And that's what Joseph does. He doesn't do something crazy. He doesn't do something stupid. He does something that's based on trust in God. He accepts this woman, his wife, who's pregnant, and he accepts the message of the angel and says, okay, if that's what God says, that's what I'm going to accept, and that's what I'm going to base my actions on. So Joseph becomes an example of faith in action. Even though we don't hear any of his words, we can see that he's a man who trusts God. And we see this throughout his whole journey, whether he's taking Mary into his home, whether he's traveling to Bethlehem, whether he's in exile in Egypt, whether he's working hard at the workbench. It's all faith in action. This is what we can learn from him. Faith is not just dreamy, strange ideas or unreal concepts. It's confidence in God, trust in God, put into action. That's what we learned from Joseph. Secondly, and I take this one from our prayer, a burning love for Jesus in the Eucharist. Well, Joseph wouldn't put it like that because the Eucharist hadn't been instituted yet, but a burning love for Jesus. Joseph's whole life was dedicated to, well, you can't separate Jesus and Mary, but Jesus is at the center of the Holy Family. The reason why Joseph is ready to take Mary into his home is because she's the mother of the Savior. She's the one designated to bear the Son of God. Do not be afraid to take Mary, because it's by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. So Jesus is at the center. And the reason why I want to emphasize this is because we can learn from Joseph love for Jesus. Our prayer says a burning love for Jesus, a burning love for Jesus in the Eucharist. One of the casualties of the pandemic was that people couldn't go to Mass, and some people got used to not going to Mass and not dedicating any attention to the Eucharist. Well, let's come away from that unfortunate stage and grow in burning love for Jesus and the Eucharist. This came to my mind yesterday. We had Eucharistic adoration here in the chapel all day, and many, many people were here. Maybe, probably many of you were here at one time or another. Many people were here. It was a very hot day. It was, not a comfortable chapel to sit in, but people came here and spent an hour before Jesus in the Eucharist. And I think that's evidence of a burning love for Jesus in the Eucharist. That's what Joseph had, and that's what he shows us to have, a burning love for Jesus. Don't let anything stop you from making Jesus the center of your life. Don't let anything stop you, whether it's a pandemic or any other inconvenience. Don't let anything stop you from making the Eucharist the center of your life. Inconvenience, heat, what people would think of you. Don't think of those things. Let a burning love for Jesus and the Eucharist be the center of your life. Okay, thirdly, a tender love for Mary, our mother. Love for Jesus and love for Mary go together. You can't separate them. Certainly Joseph didn't separate them. When he accepted Mary, he accepted Jesus. When he accepted Jesus, he accepted Mary. When he was the guardian of Jesus, he's the guardian of Mary. He has a tender love for Mary, our mother, and this is what he teaches us. I'd like to extend this beyond simply a tender love for Mary in our devotion, but to recognize that our love for Mary is to be applied to the church. This is in one of our songs. I don't know exactly where it will come up in the Mass, but one of the verses of the song says, this is the song, Protector of the Poor and Lowly, in your tender love for Mary, we learn love for Mother Church. In your tender love for Mary Joseph, we learn love for Mother Church. Now, why is it difficult for people to love the church? It's easy to love Mary. She's beautiful, she's perfect, she's a mother. But people don't always love the church because the church is messy and there's scandals and there's a lot of sinners, including me and everyone. And the church looks sometimes pretty shocking. And it's disturbing, and it sometimes seems like a waste of time. And so a lot of people who believe in Jesus and who love Mary, they don't really love the church. I think Joseph would tell us, no, just as you love Mary, love the church. Be dedicated to the good of the church. Be a protector of the church. Be a guardian of the church. Be a witness of the goodness of the church. And keep upholding the church. Now, it's true, the church, because we're all sinners, and sinners make a mess out of things, and so the church looks messy. But that does not take away from our love. In fact, it gives us greater incentive to have a tender love for her, the church. I'll say it again. In your tender love for Mary, we learn love for Mother Church. If we can take these three things from Joseph, if we can learn these three things from Joseph today, I think we have a great celebration in his honor. Faith. Joseph as a man of faith, an example, model of faith. Joseph, who teaches us a burning love for Jesus, in particular, burning love for Jesus and the Eucharist. And third, Joseph teaches us tender love for Mary, tender love for the church. With that in mind, let us celebrate today. This is a little break from Lent. We celebrate today, and we also gain the strength to be able to enter right back into our Lenten journey tonight and throughout the rest of Lent, because Joseph is our guardian. He's our protector. We're weak. Yes, we're weak, but Joseph is strong. We might not have strong faith. Joseph has strong faith. Our love might waver sometimes. Joseph has burning love. Our tenderness might get hardened. Joseph says, no, 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 tender love. So with all these grace, all these graces that come through the intercession of Saint Joseph, let us go forward on our journey of faith.